As the heir to the Hamiltonian political tradition, which sought a much more centralized governmental system, one that would plan economic development with corporate subsidies financed by protectionist tariffs and the printing of money by the central government. This agenda achieved little political success during the first 70 years of the nation's existence, but was fully implemented during the first 2 years of the Lincoln administration. It was Lincoln's real agenda. Roy Basler, the editor of Lincoln's collected works, has written that Lincoln barely ever mentioned the issue of slavery before 1854, and even then, he did not seem sincere. Chapter 2 explores the doubts that many others have also expressed about Lincoln's supposed commitment to racial equality. The average American who has not spent much time reading Lincoln's speeches but who has learned about him through the filter of the Lincoln scholars will be surprised or even shocked by some of his words and actions. He stated over and over again that he was opposed to political or social equality of the races. He was not an abolitionist, but denigrated them and distanced himself from them. And his primary means of dealing with racial problems was to attempt to colonize all American blacks in Africa, Haiti, Central America, anywhere but in the United States. Chapter 2 also shows the extent to which Lincoln's views on race were consistent with those of the overwhelming majority of white Northerners, who discriminated against free blacks so severely that several states, including Lincoln's home state of Illinois, amended their constitutions to prohibit the emigration of black people into those states. Such facts raise serious questions about the extent to which racial injustice in the South motivated Lincoln and the Republican Party to wage a long, bloody war. Chapter 3 poses a key question that almost no one has addressed in much detail. Why didn't Lincoln do what much of the rest of the world did in the 19th century and end slavery peacefully through compensated emancipation? Between 1800 and 1860, dozens of countries, including the entire British Empire, ended slavery peacefully. Only in the United States was a war involved. It is very likely that most Americans, if they had been given the opportunity, would have gladly supported compensated emancipation as a means of ending slavery, as opposed to the almost unimaginable costs of the war. 620,000 deaths, thousands more maimed for life, and the near total destruction of approximately 40% of the nation's economy. Standardizing for today's population of some 280 million, compared to 30 million in 1865, this would be roughly the equivalent of 5 million deaths, about 100 times the number of Americans who died in Vietnam. Chapter 4 outlines Lincoln's real agenda, Henry Clay's American system. For his entire political life, Lincoln was devoted to Clay and Clay's economic agenda. The debate over this economic agenda was arguably the most important political debate during the first 70 years of the nation's existence. It involved the nation's most prominent statesmen, and pitted the states' rights Jeffersonians against the centralizing Hamiltonians, who became Whigs and, later, Republicans. The violence of war finally ended the debate in 1861. Chapter 5 discusses the long history of the right of secession in America, beginning with the Declaration of Independence, which is properly viewed as a declaration of secession from England. The New England Federalists attempted for more than a decade to secede from the Union after Thomas Jefferson was elected president in 1800. Until 1861, most commentators, North and South, took it for granted that states had a right to secede. This doctrine was even taught to the cadets at West Point, including almost all of the top military commanders on both sides of the conflict during the war between the states. Lincoln's insistence that no such right existed has no basis whatsoever in history or fact. He essentially invented a new theory, that the federal government created the states, which were therefore not sovereign, and waged the bloodiest war in history up to that point to prove himself right. Chapter 6 deals with the odd nature of the claim by so many Lincoln scholars that Lincoln saved the Constitution by suspending constitutional liberty in the North for the entire duration of his administration. He supposedly had to destroy constitutional liberty in order to save it. Quite a few Lincoln scholars have labeled Lincoln a dictator for launching a military invasion without the consent of